This country was built on a distinctly American work ethic. But today, work is in trouble. We've outsourced most of our manufacturing to other countries, sending away good jobs and diminishing our capability to make things. American Giant is pushing back against that tide. They make the kind of high-quality clothing staples you need for a comfortable, stylish, and active summer wardrobe. Like vintage-style tees, tough tank tops, breathable polos, lightweight sweatshirts, shorts, and so much more. All made right here in the USA. From growing the cotton to adding the final touches. So when you buy American Giant, you create jobs for seamsters, cutters, and factory workers in towns and cities across the United States. And it's about more than an income. Jobs bring pride, purpose. They stitch people together. Support America's workers and get 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with promo code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey everyone, Yas here, and I just wanted to say it's great to have you join me today because I'm sure we're going to have another fantastic episode. So whether you're here for the first time or if you're one of the repeat loyal listeners of the show, I truly appreciate you. But before we get to today's guest, I just have a small favour to ask, and that's if you could just take a brief moment to hit the subscribe button if you haven't already. Ensure that you share it with all your coaching friends, and don't forget to get in touch, guys. Let me know your thoughts on what you think of today's episode or any of the recent episodes you've listened to. You can do this on Twitter at The Coaches Net. Once again, that's at The Coaches Net. And please make sure you do, as I'd love to hear your thoughts, guys. Anyway, on to today's show. I hope you enjoy it. Have a great day, guys.
The Coaches Network.
Hey, guys. You're now listening to The Coaches Network podcast, a podcast aimed at anyone who's passionate about athlete, talent, and personal development. My name's Coach Yas, and I'm a UEFA A-licensed football coach developer, and content creator. I'll be sitting down with a range of guests to discuss their journeys, their life lessons, and how you can make an impact. Enjoy. Right, guys, welcome back to the Coaches Network. My name's Coach Yas, and I've got a very special guest with me today. My guest today, Maxi. Maxi, just a brief insight around who you are, what you do for those that don't know and haven't come across you before.
I'm a coach in the Middle East, and just enjoy working with people. So that's in a summary, that's the best I can put out there.
Awesome. So obviously, Max, the last time we caught up, you know, we had a good chat about how maybe football's lacking almost a universal framework as such, which I thought was quite interesting, because obviously wherever else you go in the world, there is, or in pretty much all industries where there is a profession, if you like, there is kind of a general framework that people agree to follow, if you like. Where's your thoughts at with that now? Have you seen any further developments in that? And I'll be keen to kind of get your views on a few things that have been brought to my attention by coaches recently as well.
Not much has changed in regards to that, but maybe I suppose it's more of an evolution of the thinking around that in a more deliberate way. But I think from a very generic perspective, if you're all playing the game of football, then objectively speaking, we should be all having a same reference because we're playing the same sport. Then the differences and the nuances is the subjective element to it, but the subjective element will have to be with an objective reference. So the subjective would be the context and the environment, because the task or the football, it's being played by humans, and humans, as we know, they're complex, they're dynamic. They're all different elements that affect that. So that brings the subjective element with an objective reference in terms of the task of what they're doing. So it will always be, I think, from my point of view, the reference as a starting point should always be an objective reference. What is football? Because if you know the what, then you know you can go ahead with the how and application of the stuff you're doing. So that is my take in regards to the objective reference and the subjective reference. So we could go in, dive deeper in regards to the subjective element with the objective reference, but I think like every other thing, you cannot have differences when you're doing the same thing. You cannot say we are driving, we're using the same traffic rules, but then we're using completely different our reference completely different. It's like, this is the traffic rules, we're in England, these are the traffic rules, the objective rules are this, it doesn't change. Now again, if I use the reference of traffic rules, there's a universal traffic rules, for example, across the world. So a stop sign is a stop sign because the element of driving is the same. Now, of course, there will be a subjective element to different countries because of different cultural things, language and stuff, that might be used. But within that, there's a reference of some universal reference because it's a common thing to everybody. So there's various routes we could go around that just to frame that that thinking.
So just on that then, you know, just got me thinking, so where would you start with that universal reference point from football? Because the one thing I always come back to for myself when I'm having conversations with coaches is it's got to start with the principles of play and a clear understanding that these are the principles of the game, purely based on the fact that it is an invasion game, right? You asked the question there, what is football? And I think for me, it's simple. I'm trying to outscore you and you're trying to outscore me while we're both trying to stop one another, vice versa, right? So, you know, if that is the overarching thing that everyone has to agree on, where do you personally think people should start in terms of trying to get closer to what would be a universal reference point?
So it's a good starting point of the conversation, because if I don't go zooming into a very deliberate intention and just go in your generic, like you said, it's about outscoring. It's about stopping you to outscore. That is the game of football. Now, if I want to zoom in and have a deeper look, then if I'm trying to outscore you, then there needs to be some element of interaction between myself and this, with the universal reference of the starting point. The game of football is 11v11. Then you can work it back down all the way to its simplest form. So if we have the reference point, the game of football starting with 11v11, there is an interaction between teammates, opposition, the ball, the rules, and then we can add other stuff in terms of, you got the referee, you got, you know, if you're in a context where there is fans. So all these elements that you as a participant in the game of football is interacting with. So within the interaction, then that means you are communicating verbally or non-verbally with teammates, with the opposition, with the referee, with the fans, and within that element of communication, you are making decisions. And once you make those decisions, you decide to execute them. So from an objective reference perspective, if I have to simplify it, the objective reference of football, from a global perspective, it's about communication, decision, execution. And if I can go further, then you might talk about the element of fitness. But now talk about fitness is about how can I be able to communicate, decide and execute as long as possible and is required. That's what fitness is about in context of the reference of football, in terms of outscoring, stopping you. So that will be my starting point in terms of that. So if that is the rule within the global reference of football is outscoring, stopping you, that means we are communicating, we are deciding, we are executing. So that is the rule. So from a coach application, if I go in that process, the coach in the element of communication could be, as the intention of the club, we might be, we want instant performance within the reference of communicating, executing, communicating, deciding, executing. So then I can take different forms within a subjective reference of that. Now, it could be within that, we could start breaking that down now, okay. Within the communication, decision-making, and the executing element, what are the exceptions to the rule? And what are the rule? And then now this is what becomes the subjective element in reference to the delivery of what you're doing. But we should always start with the rule, not the exception to the rule. I've been there and starting my journey without maybe lack of knowledge and doing understanding, research, observing. My reference point when my early days of coaching, I started with the exception to the rule. And so with that context, I wasn't delivering the sport that we've just described, football. I was doing something else. So if I zoom out and give you a different context, just to illustrate the element of the objective reference. Now, the key part that people, I think as coaches, we go wrong, and people trying to put across in regards to this objective reference is the difference that becomes on the application. And if I link back to our starting point of trying to describe what is football, generally speaking, I think as coaches, we've always started, and traditionally with our coach education, everything has always started with the how, not the why. And if we zoom back and go, we start with the why, then we'll end up falling with the elements of objective reference rather than the polarized element.
Just give some context there for what you're referring to when you're talking about the how and the why there, because it's something that I talk a lot about with coaches. We want to make sure that we're aligned in how we're, I guess, articulating that.
So in terms of as an organization is understanding why, for example, you're either involved with the game of sport and within that organization. Because once I know the why, then it allows me, from a coach action perspective, I can be able to deliberately design the environment to fit the why. Normally, what coaches tend to do, they start the how, and then they boil down this to their individual reading and perspective of how the game is supposed to be played. When that is a subjective element, you as a coach, your job is to view the world with an objective reference. And then your job as a coach is to support and nurture your participants, whether you're a coach educator or as the players or the stakeholders within the game. So it could be parents, the players and the coaches, around the why, and then we use the how to support what is more important to us within a strategic framework. So that is how I would go. So if I link that to the communicating, the deciding, and the executing. So in the communicating element, in terms of a coach action perspective, it is about describing and explaining the football problem. So if I try to, you know, zoom it back into coach perspective. Now, in the element of deciding, there's two aspects of the deciding. So there's deciding what and the deciding how. So within that context, from a coach action perspective, once I've described and explained a football problem, then the deciding what element needs to be me choosing a hypothetical solution for the football problem. And then the second part of the deciding element, which is the how, is now designing the application of the hypothetical solution, which is designing the experiment to allow to communicate. And then the execution element of that, and so still this linking back to, you know, as we've described what is football, it's now how do I execute the application, this experiment of this hypothetical football problem. So if I zoom and put that on the side, as coaches, we've always gone the how. So what people have done is people are trying to give a solution when they haven't given a hypothetical problem. So the coach action is missing the objective reference by just go the how.
Yeah.
So, and then now people's, and then because of that, people start having a definitive description of, for example, technique. Because they've started at the level of how. And yeah. Remember, at the deciding element, there is the what and the how. But before you get that, you have to understand the communication element of it. What is the problem? So yeah. in my reference perspective, if I use the objective reference of communicating, decide, execute, then within that context, my definition of technique becomes very different, because my definition of technique becomes the execution of a decision. Because there's an element of communication, there's an element of deciding what, deciding how. So then when I'm executing the communication element of what I've decided and the decision of what I've decided. So the how in terms of the position, moment, direction, and speed of the solution that I've decided to use. So then that gives you, me as a coach, I don't have a prescribed way of solving that problem.
And nor should there be, right? There shouldn't be a prescribed way anyway, right?
There shouldn't be a prescribed way.
I mean, everything you're saying kind of, it reminds me of something that I talk about a lot with coaches, and it's that it's quite interesting. You talk there about coaches going into the how. I actually think they're actually going into the what. They're telling players what they want to see, but they never actually, in my opinion, go into enough understanding or detail as to how to do the what. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
And you know, in essence, I guess what you're saying there is that effectively they're trying to direct players to a solution to a problem they don't yet know that exists.
Exactly.
So it's almost without that context, and if you have a prescribed technique, well, every prescribed technique is essentially a response to a problem. But if the problem hasn't been identified for the players, or if there's no understanding for them to then, I guess, self-identify the problem, then how do they begin to know where this solution arrives? And it's what I talk about a lot with coaches. And I say, well, you're going through a practice with the players, you're going through some sort of drill or exercise with the players, but do the players know how they got here?
And that is, I think that is the a very important aspect. And the beauty of this is these different paradigms that kind of from both a scientific perspective and both from a practical perspective that underpin this objective reference and thinking that we're talking about. And so my encouragement to the coaches is by defining the objective reference and having some element of evidence-based to be able to not only qualify, but you can quantify the elements of your application. So that is where my thought process comes in. If we take the philosophical, theoretical, or I'll give you a perfect example, which I found very interesting. So, in the last couple of years, I've been very deliberate and trying to figure out and try to observe. So, to observe what we coaches we tend to do. And we tend to drive. And what do kids do? And a few examples. I give you a perfect example. I think a day ago, we were just by the pool, and this kid must be six. And he got a ball, just a floatable ball, and he was there with the parent. And interestingly, subconsciously, and this is me guessing, I don't think the parent intentionally was doing what he was doing, knowing. What the kids were doing, the kid had the football, and he was trying to outplay the dad. And what the dad was doing, the dad was trying to kind of block him, and he needed to find a solution to go past him, to get into the water. And I was observing this, and I'm thinking, if we go back to the objective reference, we said the game of football from 11v11 as a reference point, it is communicating, deciding, executing. And if I simplify that in its simplest form, we had a game of football in its simplest form, 1v1. And this was a seven-year-old who his understanding and experience of football is not, his game insight is not as broadened. And here was a parent who was just trying to play with this kid. And it was interesting to observe what the kid was doing, because every single time the dad made a particular movement, you could see the intention, which was completely different to the success, but you could see the intention of the kid. And he was trying to solve a problem that was being presented in front of him without the dad telling him, no, this is what you need to do.
Mm. I think it's really, really interesting, because I think we're very aligned in terms of how we're viewing the situations, in the sense that I often think, well, the first thing we have to do is forget about the process. It's let's make sure the players or the participants are clear on the outcome they're trying to achieve. In this case, it's for this kid, it's can you get into the water, right?
Yeah.
Now, if he establishes a way to get it done, why do we care how it got done? As long as it was done in a safe and manageable way, right?
Yeah, and this is where people sometimes, in terms of understanding the outcome, because the game of, so if we go back to this again, we're gonna go back always to this reference point. So this reference point, we're talking about what is the game of football? The game of football is I need to outscore you. So now, if I find solutions that might be unique to me and we unique to the set of group of the players who are trying to try to outplay, to outscore, if the objective is to outscore and we achieve that, regardless of how we achieve that,
then it's success, right?
It's relevant.
Yeah. But also, within what you said there is that you said the process that you've gone through is unique to you. But actually, even that will change in every context. So that individual, you could go through, and I give this as an example with young players in particular, like, you can have a 1v1 situation, but how you play against me and how you play against the guys I have beside of me is going to be very different, because we've also got our own attributes, right? So as an example, I might be quicker than you, the next person might be stronger than you, the next person might just be fairly balanced with you, right?
Yeah.
That's going to fundamentally dictate your process.
Yeah, yeah. And in other contexts, it's what they call affordances, right? So what you afford me is how I'll try to create the solution for it. And so the affordances could be you're faster, bigger. Your affordances could be you're slower. All those affordances will allow me to have different solution to the same problem, but in different ways. So we could be still solving the same problem in 1v1.
Well, the same problem as an overview, right? But obviously the contextual factors, yes, within it is where the affordances come in. And I think what you're saying here is that we need to get to a point where the players are better at identifying what the variables look like within each given context.
Exactly. And in that regard, it becomes, what are the invited desires or actions and behaviors we want in a context of a 1v1? So if I go back to the reference of, I need to outplay you to score. The behaviors and desires and desired actions we're looking for is, you need to find to be able to go beyond the line of the obstacle, which is the defender. So 1v1, how do you, as an individual action, how do I outplay, and what are the behaviors I want to be able to allow me to go beyond so I can score with maximum ease or maximum control? So if those are the behaviors that we want, then if it goes back to the element of communicating, deciding the what, deciding the how, and executing, then I need to put you as a player in a context to give those affordances of my individual action around 1v1, which is this football problem, to outplay you. And now I'm trying to create a condition and an environment of how can you experiment this hypothetical situation of the desired actions to outplay, what would be the behaviors? And when I talk about behaviors, I'm just talking about the capabilities. So if you talk about the six capabilities of trying, you know, to be able to outplay you, would be your timing, the execution, which we traditionally call technique, the right moments to deceive. How do I move? How do I communicate, which links to my different levels of scanning? And then how do I position myself to be able to execute wherever those desired actions and behaviors in the correct position, in the correct moment, in the correct direction, in the correct speed? And that will always keep on varying because you keep on forcing me, offering me different problems. I think... I don't know if it was you had a discussion with Paul or somebody, and he talked about your solution is my solution. So if you're giving me, if you're trying to stop me to outplay you, you're giving me a different solution. And now I'm scanning, I look at that movement and thinking, okay, you give me that solution, I need to give you a different solution now.
Yeah. So it's a phrase that I was using. It's a quote from Bruce Lee. It's, my technique is in response to your technique.
Yes, there you go. So if I go back to, for a coach who, you know, is not into the research and the reading. And what I would say goes back to what I was referencing to this polygamy is observe. And see, I'm not seeing the kid trying to go around a corner. I'm seeing a kid trying to go to an organic human being that is constantly offering different movements or different obstacles or different affordances for the player to do that. The other instances, are, again, like I said, I've been trying to be keenly observe what really happened naturally. I went to a school at break time, and I looked across different age groups. So there, on one side, you had all this, 13, 14 older players. On one side, you had these 7, 8-year-old kids. And I was observing, and they were in a shed. And these kids, in fact, funny enough, I had to film it just to try to understand and learn what are the kids doing that we coaches stop them from doing. And what they did, they just stand up. There was a ball that was hanging around. All they did is put each other in an even team. One team had more players on that, and they just started playing. All they were doing is trying to find. So there was one who just loved dribbling, and he just kept dribbling. There was one who wanted to share the ball and pass. But the intention, like I said, again, this is, I suppose, maybe that's where everything becomes watered, because everybody's trying to look for this perfect way of action. When it is less about the perfection, it is about, can the outcome be successful?
Yeah.
And so our job as a coach is to be able to create an environment that the players, this bandwidth of their intention is being nurtured and is constantly shifting from 1 to 10. If it's, let's use a scale of 1 to 10, it keeps up this bandwidth, and then the players need to understand at this position, moment, direction, speed of this affordance, at the bandwidth of 1, this might be my solution. At the bandwidth of 3, oh, I'm gonna have to do it differently. I'm gonna have to adjust like this. And so our job is now, which becomes the skill of the coach.
Mm.
So for me, the skill of the coach is not to fall on the exception to the rule, but to the rule. So when I say the exception to the rule, and this does not mean taking away the so-called opposition has no place. Everything has a place. But it goes back to understanding the why. Yeah. Understanding what the football reference. And so,
No, I was just going to say, I think there's a few different points that, I just want to touch on before you kind of progress, because before I forget my thoughts. But I think the first thing is essentially what you're saying is, well, we want the players to be able to really get to grips of identifying what the affordances are in the first place. So the thing that I always mention this is that before the players can become better at making decisions, they need to be aware of what affects their ability to execute a decision or make or ability to perform, right? So these are the affordances you're talking about. So for instance, it doesn't matter who you are, whoever I come up against in a 1v1 situation, they are going to be an obstacle for me. How they approach me is going to impact me. The speed at which they approach me is going to impact me. The way in which they use their body is going to. These are factors which every single individual is going to bring towards us. I think the challenge for us is to help one start the players in understanding. Right, these are the different things that are going to affect you to start with. Right, yeah. Now, each one of these variables. How can they be presented to you? So like, as we talked about, some players, they might use their body and they might be a bit more aggressive. Other players, they might use their body, but they might not necessarily, put you in a position where they try and keep you away from the ball. They just get in between you and the ball. So it might not be, side on fully when they're trying to shield the ball. They're just with their back to you. So it closes the distance and things like that, right? And I think if we can get better at helping the players understand the variables in the first instance, then they've got the tools and the capabilities to actually then identify what the problem is in front of them. subsequently, then they're able to then say, okay, it's not that there's a perfect outcome, because the perfect outcome is relevant to the tech, relevant to the context of the moment that you're in. And then even over the point about taking players away, I think I agree with you. I think it has context. It has a place in the game, right? It has a place in youth development, player development as a whole. But I think the challenge for us is, if the players don't understand the variables that will affect their performance, then going through an unopposed practice is essentially going to be, you know, to some extent redundant, because unless they understand what the variables are, they can't perform the unopposed practice in the context of those variables being present. Does that make sense?
And I suppose the challenge has always been the assumptions as with how the football world has grown up and developed. You got to remember that when football started, there was no research per se. People were experimenting, and so that created people's game insight and understanding. But just like everything else, humans developed and research started happening. And now the things that people kind of had an experiment but couldn't explain, with research, people now can explain, oh, that is why that is. And so the assumptions always for the previous element, I won't call it traditional, but in the former way of thinking, it's always been striving for a perfect movement. And it's always been with many repetitions and corrections by the coach. So the player gets to the ideal movement, and the goal is to create some element of automatism that the player can execute with their movement without thinking in the game. Then, now, if we go back to the objective reference talk about the game of football, if we said about football is about 11v11, you talk about 22 players with different emotions, different personalities. There's all the different contours of the rules. There's the different moments of the game, which create this uncertainty. And that means no situation will happen twice. And if every situation is different, then that means an ideal movement cannot exist. And so if we boil down back to the element of technique, of course, I've referenced technique is an execution of a decision. But if I want to use the former thinking of the perfect movement, people need to understand that technique is the tool to execute the decision.
Yeah, so but something's really important there, though, Max.
To a unique situation.
Yeah, yeah, but something really important there, right? And this is the key thing, because my viewpoint is this. I think like we both agreed, it's got a place in terms of that technique piece, that unopposed piece, that piece that's being corrected to be the refined and perfect technique. But
yeah,
my view is that type of work should be left to the experts of the game, i.e. those performing at the highest of levels, those that have a real deep insight and experience on how to play the game, right? Because it's only with that experience and that insight and that foundational knowledge of the game that they're able to perform techniques unopposed but within context. I think the best example of it is like an Arjen Robben, right? Where, you know, every single time he got on that ball, you knew what was going to happen. How and when exactly it was going to happen, we didn't know, but we knew what was going to happen in terms of the context of the action, right? Context of the action meaning he's going to go down the right and he's going to drop his left shoulder and he's going to find a way in somewhere. Now, my point is this. I think with him, you use the unopposed work because he's got so much understanding of that context that he's become so expert at it that doesn't matter who you put in front of him, he's still going to make it happen because he's become so attuned to the variables which exist and the affordances that the players around him and against him will give him in those moments. So, for instance, although the concept of the technique is the same, he'll come up against Ashley Cole, he'll come up against a Patrice Evra, he'll come up against a Philip, you know, maybe not a Philip Lahm, but you know, whoever he comes up against, he just has to look at the subtleties of the situation and say, oh, Ashley Cole might be a little bit quicker than me coming back inside, so I might need to take him further out. Or Patrice Evra might not be as strong as me coming inside, so I might need to take him a little bit. I can afford to get a little bit tired to him, or whatever that looks like, right? But it's through the experience. Now, effectively, young kids or beginners or novices playing the game, they will never have that foundation of insight to kind of draw upon to be able to make those decisions effectively. So I think I'm not saying let the game be the teacher because I don't agree with that, but experiencing the situations is what is fundamental here.
And goes to when you start the conversation, the coaches you start with the why. Because if my why is performance, then performance is not learning, but learning is performance. So if I understand my why in front of me, what are my audience? Are the audience a performance group or my audience are a learning group? Because now if I understand my why, and then I can use the exception to the rule in various ways. Because I can use my unopposed work to help develop basic movement actions, which is completely different to basic football interactions actions. So if a player is injured, then we start with basic movement actions. Why? Because that player is injured. They already have the game inside, like you've alluded to, and we need to build up the performance element so that they are up to speed to the required maintained levels. Now, if I'm using an opposed work, I can use an opposed work to either drive quick performances, and it's not about learning, or it's about maintaining the already existing football base, which alludes to what you're talking about, the game insight. Because, like we've talked about, the game insight, if we go back to the performance and Iron Robin has a bandwidth. So his game insight, there is a unique solution he has to solve a problem. And that could be Messi, it could be Mbappe. But because of their game insight through years of experience, they have a bandwidth. And so this bandwidth gives them the different situation that allows them to have adaptable technique to solve those unique problems they're having. So we go back and saying, Iron Robin, you know what he's going to do. Because that is unique identifier. And that unique identifier through his game insight and experiences he's had. And how do you get the experiences? You have to be confronted with these affordances, these problems constantly all the time. So you start building this bank, which become your insight of understanding at 0.001 position, this is my solution. At 2.0075 position, this is my solution. But this is always happening like that, and it can only happen through it. Now, if link back to understanding the cognitive element, if you ask any other coach, they'll tell you they want the game of football to be played quicker. So through the process of learning, not performance, through the process of learning, we don't want the players to think. We want the players to be instinctive. Because if you read about the cognitive element, if I slow down to think, it slows the game down. By putting players in this experimental situation, subconsciously, they learn the effective ways of how. And this gives them this range of ever adapting, which gives them this insight. So if we talk about the elements of consciousness, yes. So if we talk about conscious, you got various level of consciousness. And so what we want to do is make sure that the players are going from unconscious to now the level where we talk about Iron Robin, where he's consciously conscious. And what I mean by that is you can talk to Iron Robin and he can explain to you in detail why he did what he did. Whereas the players, as in their learning phase, they've got to start where they're unconscious and they're solving the problem and developing these behaviors and these actions that allow them to achieve the objective of the game. And when they get to a level where they understand the different solutions, now we can make them even more conscious of the unconscious element.
Just on that, Max, and it's something I've battled with a lot in the last couple of years in particular, and it's how important is it for them to be able to articulate those intricacies? Because at the end of the day, right, whether they can articulate it or not, they're getting success. In my opinion, I think the ability to articulate it or at least, if not in words, but actually walk it through and talk it through at the same time, if you like, then in my opinion, that I would suggest that gives them a stronger foundation to be able to reinforce and execute again and again and again on those actions. But what are your thoughts on that?
It goes back to just me when I'm talking about the element. It's more of like best way of doing it is think of evolution. Okay, so if you think about the evolution, in evolution, people were experiencing stuff. And so through experience, they're getting this sensory data. And that gave them the first impression. Then that data, it becomes your theoretical starting point. So as a player trying to get another and explore these experiences by just having the sensory data, it gives me my first impressions of what the truth or my truth would be. And this builds in your beliefs and preferences and emotions. But then in your first experiences, this is what I call low quality explanatory theory. Because if I experience something once, I'm having a low level of understanding. The more I experience it, then I build more references to be able to clarify or debunk or justify my understanding of something. So what needs to be happening is the brain is responsible for the quality of what you're thinking. And so if we're giving the players an increased chance of quality thinking, and you can only do that by giving exposing them to more experiences, then that brings them out from the unconscious experiences they're having, which is of a low level, that will get them to a conscious level. And so our job as a coach is, again, understanding our why, is it a performance, is it a learning, is what are the the stimuluses we are giving the players so that it is provoking their understanding to be able to find solutions, because like we just spoken, football is about communicating, deciding, executing, and I'm communicating to solve a problem. So the more stimulus hypothetical football problems you are giving them, the better their game insight gets. And that's why the players get better when they get older, because they're having more experiences.
Of course. So I guess on that, then, you know, it's a really, really good point. And I guess the conversation that comes up a lot for me with a lot of coaches is, where do I begin to learn this? Where do I begin to understand what these problems are?
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Game is presenting, because in my opinion, I think obviously the way coaches education has changed a lot, and it's not a case of it being better or worse, it's just different now, right? I think there's a lot more emphasis now on the need for coaches to maybe go out and do their own kind of research, their own learning, their own observations of the game. But for someone without having an objective framework or some point of reference to kind of work from, obviously that can be quite challenging to navigate themselves through, right? It is only through experience and maybe guidance through other coaches who've been around and done it for a little while, who have got good knowledge and maybe good insight on the game to support them. But you know, for coaches listening to this thinking, okay, right, Maxi, you know, this sounds great, we want the players to become better decision makers, we want them to have more enriched experiences and understand the game with better sound knowledge of the game, but where do I start as a coach to go and get it myself so I can support them in developing it for them? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I suppose maybe it's supposed to defining what is coaching in the context of football. And I know there's various caveats to that, but if we talk coaching and peg it to being on the pitch, the coaching functions is, or the coaching task is about provoking desired behavior. So some element of competent or incompetent, which I'll refer as situation coaching, or it's about provoking desired answers and or understanding, which is reference coaching. So my coaching function is to be able to seamlessly go from a situation coaching to reference coaching. So how do I provoke competence and incompetence? And how do I provoke an understanding in regards to reference coaching? And so in terms of my coaching function and coaching task, my coaching actions becomes about developing exercises that create situation coaching. And then my skill of interaction allows me to develop the asking question, which is the reference coaching. And so that becomes the skill and the art. So that in the reference thinking element, there is this spectrum of subjective experience, reference to an objective knowledge as reference. So we're exposing players in this situation. When you expose these players to this situation, you're trying to help players show the competency phases, which I was talking about. So you'll have the unconsciously incompetent phase, you'll have the consciously incompetent phase, you've got the consciously competent phase, you've got the unconsciously competent phase, and the last one is the consciously unconsciously competent. So when I'm doing when I'm doing situation coaching, I'm trying to provoke the competent and incompetent elements within my developing the exercises I'm doing. And as I'm doing this, through my reference coaching and exposing the players to these different situations, I'm trying to develop the competence and incompetence element to bring it to the forefront, to the highest level of competency, which is the consciously unconsciously competent. And what I mean by consciously unconsciously competent is I'm doing something without thinking, but I'm very aware of what I've done. And that is where performance and high performance comes in. If I'm in the learning phase, the players, we are trying to get them from unconsciously incompetent. So the player doesn't understand I'm incompetent with the football actions to be able to achieve football that we're trying to achieve. And our job in the learning phase is to get them in the competitive phase of, can they be consciously understand they're consciously incompetent and what the things they need to work on, to get them to the third phase, which is the consciously competent. So they're aware, oh, I can do that football action. And so the football situations, my coaching tasks around the football situation and the reference coaching allow to develop and help, because our job as coaches is to create an environment to improve the competitive phases. That's our job. Our job is not to change players. So if I've fallen in love of football in the park, like that kid was trying to go in the pool, if my parent exposes me a lot into 1v1 and I fall in love with dribbling, that is what allows me to play the game. My job as a coach is not to fix you and tell you, stop dribbling. This is how you need to dribble. Because this is why I've fallen in love with the sport. If a different parent and a different environment exposes me to just striking the ball, and so I grow up with my love for playing in sport is being able to share the ball and not dribble, because that's not what I've been exposed to and the situations I've been exposed to. You're not supposed to change me. What you're supposed to do is to allow an environment where you're improving my competencies, whether incompetent or competent. So if I'm really competent at dribbling, you might create an environment that improves my incompetency around passing and vice versa. And within that process is trying to maximize the player's reference around their experiences, which goes back to what you're talking about. When the player is in the performance phase, of course I might use an opposed work, because my references and understanding, my game insight is such of a higher level that I'm conscious, I'm consciously aware of the different situations that references. So you can't maintain without actually putting an element of decision making. And again, in a performance context, we could do an opposed element for different reasons. We could be because we are trying to recover you game day plus two. So we're trying to give you cognitive rest. So we don't want you to be thinking and having the emotional element. So you can, because of your level of game insight, you can consciously and consciously execute the different things that you're being, because we're giving you that mental cognitive break because you've played a Champions League, for example.
I think it's really, really interesting because, you know, it just reminds me of my experiences now doing jiu-jitsu, right? And it's actually been mind-blowing for me because even just watching how they train, right?
Yeah.
There's no such thing as a technique without the opponent. Right? It doesn't exist, right? So I guess coming into it with a coaching kind of lens on how they deliver the training and the practice, if you like, is... Yeah. I'm consciously looking at, right, oh, what are the things that I can take away and apply in the context of football in my own coaching here and stuff like that? And there's two key things. You know, you've got specific training drills, and then you've got sparring. You've got specifics and sparring. Sparring is basically like literally just us going random. It's randomized, yeah? It's like a game, yeah? But the even in the specifics, whilst I might be working on a specific technique, I'm working on a specific technique and based on
a particular movement reaction. Yeah,
but how you react to it as well. So yeah, although we both know, like as an example, I'm trying to escape from your hold or whatever, right? But you're never going to hold me the same way twice.
No, because
it's always going to be a slight gap different. Somewhere else, and It just further kind of highlighted for me how important it is to have that interaction with the opposition, even in football, right? Because that one moment where I do something different and then a second rep where I do something different is going to give you a different opportunity. Now, the challenge for you, and it's like what you said earlier, it's not about necessarily the outcome, but it's the intention. Right, and the thing is, in that moment, if I'm able to identify the opportunity for intention, if that makes sense, right?
Yeah.
So every time we go back into, every time we do a new repetition, you're going to give me something different. Now, it's not about whether I can succeed in achieving what was different; it's whether I can identify and attempt the execution of that thing that was different. And then as time goes on, and this is where I'm big on, is like, for me, it's not necessarily about the players being able to execute it to start with. For me, it's first as the players being able to identify where the execution could have occurred, because if they can identify where the execution could have occurred, that shows to me they're becoming more attuned to the situation they're now in or the repetition they've just performed subsequently.
It's almost like we said, you can't solve a problem if you don't know the what. And so what I don't understand, logically speaking, if I'm telling the kid to solve the what, or to do a how, but they don't know the what, well, I'm banging my head the brick wall. And then, if I further delve into them doing the solving the what, well, that what might have a variety of degrees. Because if, for example, you're defending me, you might defend me in 32 degrees angle. In the next action, you might defend me 35 degrees. So I need to be able to understand in that position at that moment.
Exactly.
That was the angle.
But you know what? I think something that you said there, though, I think what you're describing as the what, I think is actually the why.
Yeah.
Because I'm doing this technique, which is the how.
Yeah.
Because of the situation you've put in front of me, which is the why. But I think the what is the technique, but the how is the process in which you follow to achieve the technique and success. Does that make sense? So I describe the how as almost the recipe for the dish.
If you go deeper into that, basically it's almost like three levels of the decision making. Because you got the decision what, you got the decision how, and the decision of what of the how. So if the decision what is, ooh, and you dribble here, all right, the decision how, and you decide the next level of the decision what how. So, okay, what type of dribble? Am I going to do a stop start? Am I going to do a feint? So if I start going deeper and deeper, there's all these layers, but now I need to, but this needs to happen, which goes back to my original point of the competency phases, the unconscious element, because I need this action to happen like this. So if they have deep, I want the player to think, okay, how? All right, I'm going to do a feint. Okay, I'm going to do a change of direction. No, I want this to be a subconscious thing without thinking. And so from a learning phase, I need to expose you to the decision what. So then the decision how becomes a subconscious thing, and instantly you go decide the what of the how. And you need to keep on now, if you go in the elements of learning, if you think about the forgetting curve, research shows you in the forgetting curve, if I do one task and do, that's how I learn. So it goes back to the conversation we talked previously, performance is not learning, learning is performance. So in the element of learning, goes back to where we talk about the intention, I might have decided the decision what, how, and the what of the how, but my intention might have been correct, but the execution could be wrong, or vice versa. My execution could have been right, but my intention could have been wrong. So if I look at just the outcome and don't look at the situation and the problem being put across me, then we are not allowing the player to have this bandwidth of the unconscious competency to be able to solve a problem instantly, because like we've said, and we all know, a game of football, it is very random and it happens instantly. So I need to create a situation where, what does the game demand? The game demands you need to decide the what, you need to decide the how, you need to decide the what of the how, like that, every second, like that, like that. And if I only give you one situation all the time, then I'm not allowing you that to do learning. But if it's a performance, because I need you to perform now, it's different. Because I could get a younger player, but which goes back to the beginning part I'll talk about, the exception to the rule, understanding your why. So if in my environment, the decision is we need to win now. It's not about learning, it's about performing. Remember, performing is not learning. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to make you, without you understanding, I want you to perform it. So what I want you is this to happen like this. So I'm taking away a bigger chunk of that bandwidth because I want you to perform. It's about now. But we all know, if you don't have a deeper understanding, and this again, this is from a cognitive learning, if I don't have a deep understanding, I don't have the variability and adaptability skill because I don't have an understanding. So I'm just performing. But if I'm in an environment that it's about learning, and more often than not, when you're working younger players, we are trying to help them learn, not perform. We're helping them to learn so that when they get to the performance phase, they can perform. And what we want them, because every coach, that's what every coach wants. They want, if a player is performing at the high level, they need to be able to adapt without relying to the coach. But you can only do that if I have a deeper understanding and I've been exposed to this bandwidth of different problem or the same problem, but over different bandwidth. And now understanding the different moments of that solution and that problem, if I'm deciding the how, the work of the how is can only change like that. And I can be able to adapt, which goes back to your technique, because technique is the execution of the decision. Now, if that decision of the what and the how keeps on changing, I need to be able to adapt, which traditionally as coaches, we fall back and say, oh, we need to teach them technique. Okay, to do what? Because are you teaching them a technique to be able to decide and solve problems? Are you teaching them technique just to perform? And now it's understanding what context and what environment you're in. Am I in an environment where I've got a Sunday league team who have got, I got adults who have not played football. Their playing age is the same age of a 10-year-old. Because now it's understanding all these different aspects of age. Now, if my playing age is that young, I might have a deep understanding, but I'm on a Sunday, in a men's league, on a Sunday league, I need to be able to, this group of players, they want to win. So guess what? The training sessions I'm going to put in is to allow them to perform. It's not about them trying to understand. They'll figure that out as time goes on. And so, again, which blends back down to this element of when do you get development players when they're getting into performance? When do you get them in the first team? You get them in the first team when they can perform. So it means you go up, give them an environment where they got to learn so that they go into a performance environment where they can adapt, solve problem with their technical tools to solve the problems being given in the game context with the opposition. And so, which defines us, what is football ability? Because like we said, our job as a coach is to nurture the football ability. And in essence, if I go back to our reference point, football ability really is just being ability to be able to communicate, decide, execute. And now, if you and me are in the same age group, if they say yes as a better football ability, it just means you got a higher ability to be able to communicate, decide, and execute. So it means your decision-making speed, your reaction speed, your decision speed, your consistency is of a higher level compared to me.
I think also just subtly within that, it's also the accuracy in which the decisions can be made and not just the speed, right?
Of course, and that which means the consistency, so that element of the execution is the position, moment, direction, or speed of my execution. So if I've gone the decision what, decision how, the decision what of the how, the what part of the how, that it becomes the deeper
element. Yeah, you're just more refined in your filtering process, essentially.
Exactly, because now, which goes back to that, so if in a game, I got six decisions. Let me give you an example like this. I'm going to the supermarket. And in the supermarket, I want to buy a jar of jam. All right? So when I go in the supermarket, there is strawberry, there's apple, there's apricot, there is, I don't know, all sorts of jams. There's like 20 varieties of jam. If I don't know what jam I want, I will find it very difficult to sieve through the jam in the shelf. If I know what jam I want, but I go to that store regularly, which is the experiences, I start knowing, oh, the strawberry jam is always here. The apricot jam is always here. I know what I'm looking for. I can straight away go there. It means I'm spending less time in the store looking for the jam. Compared to my first experience, I take longer. So it might take me 5 minutes trying to figure out, oh, do I want strawberry, do I apricot? It's taking me longer to make the decision and to execute the element of buying or getting it off the shelf. The same as a player. But the more I start having more of this experience, and now I know, which is the cautious element, it takes me even less time. Now, my ability to be able to interact with the shelf and the jam to execute, take the jam off the shelf as a football player, my ability to be able to execute this, because now I can see the boundary that this moment in this particular position, that's what I'm executing. Your ability to do that action is quicker. So what do they go? He's a better player. It's because I can be able to communicate, decide, and execute on demand what is required of me. And that is the best way of I can describe the football ability that our job as a coach is to trying to nurture. So the football ability, communicate, design, execute, can I create football situations that illustrate or provoke the incompetence and the competencies around communicating, deciding, executing. And using my reference coaching through situations that I'm creating to allow to provoke certain questions for you to think. So if, for example, in the same situation, you played the one touch, then similar situation, but a slightly different aspect of it, you play two touches, sir. I might do a situation, oh, yes, sir. How come in this situation you have one touch? Because now I'm trying to provoke your thinking to understand, oh, it is a similar one, it's a 1v1 situation, but the moment required me to play in two or more touches. So I can be able to escape the press. Or this situation, it required me, because of the angle of the defender, in this, it's still a 1v1 situation, but the context allows me, no, I need to play in one touch. I need to break the line in one touch. I can't be able to attract. So in three or more touch, I got a break in one touch. But I can only do that if I give you a situation that is giving you this random bandwidth, which goes back to the cognitive element of learning, so that I can remember. Because for me to remember, if we think about myelin, how does myelin work? Because myelin works with the element of forgetful curve. How does it work? It works. I do something else. I forget about that. But then if it reminds me, I build a sheath. That's how myelin started building. And then that's how I started having muscle memory. So if I'm repeating the same thing, and then I go into a different text, and I've been repeating this for half an hour, if I completely forget that, now all of a sudden I'm having the volume of degree of changes is exponential, I'll forget that. That's why if I'm doing my Arnold Pose work, again, which has a place, and I'm doing my Arnold Pose work, in the moment it looks like, oh, I've got it. But then all of a sudden I go into a different context. Oh, how come we can't do it? Again, so there's all this thing, I would say, again, from a coaching perspective, in fact, just think about it. You talked about the sport you're involved in. I will talk about technique, which again, I was talking about universal reference. If I talk about technique to my brother who's doing athletics, the context is completely different to talking to you in a football world about technique. Because in athletics, technique is not an execution of a decision.
But it's also because there's nothing interacting with you directly other than what everyone else is, like you're not being opposed.
Exactly. And that's why in the different contexts, the technique is completely different in athletics. So my technique, so you need to run like this. Why? Because it is about efficiency and
yes.
And for you to, whereas in football, it's not about efficiency. It's about being on time.
Mm.
So until such a time, there are certain elements of either biomechanical stuff affects me executing.
I think in the pure essence, right? In the pure essence, you just got to look at it and think. I think I would almost challenge what you said slightly and said, I think it's all about efficiency, but it's understanding the physical biomechanics involved in every circumstance. Obviously, in athletics, it's pretty much straightforward. Yeah. You're not opposed. It is just biomechanics simply based on you.
Yeah.
Is in within football or within combat sports, anything that's opposed, I often refer to it, it's just physics.
Yeah.
Right? It's just physics. The angle that you come at based on where the force is coming from and all the other stuff with it. And I think if you start to dress it down that way, it does make it quite simple. And I think this is sometimes where as coaches, especially in football, it can become very complicated. It is quite, because it is a complex thing, right? But even within its complexity, it is very much simple.
Yeah.
And I think that's the challenge for coaches, especially coaches who have not been around for long, and they maybe haven't come through certain generations of coach education, coach development, or they maybe not around more experienced coaches who have maybe gone through those things. There is a different appreciation for what coaching certainly looks like now in comparison to what it was maybe 5, 10, and certainly 15 years ago when I started, and probably even before that when you started, right? So I think it is, you know, in essence, more challenging to become effective as a coach, because there's more variety in what an effective coach should or could look like now. So I guess my question to you would be, you know, for anyone listening to this now, what would you say are some key things that you'd maybe want them to go away and start to think about, or really look to kind of maybe delve deeper into to develop a better insight on?
I think from my end, it is more understanding what's important. And if you understand what is important, you understand the why, then that will affect what coaches do. So how they convey that information, what will be their structure of practice, how do they give feedback? Because by understanding your why is understanding, are you in a performance or a learning environment, for example? Then that allows you to be able to have your way of thinking that it is objective and it's not subjective. Because, like I said, the football is the only sport that I think is the world upside down. And it goes back to this element of references. Football is the only one where everybody wants to do Gareth Southgate, everybody's an expert and wants to do Gareth Southgate's job. They can pick the team and they know where they'll be playing. But I watch a lot of Law and Order. Does that make me a good law enforcement? No. I watch Grey Anatomy. Does that make me a doctor? No. But in football, people sit down and watch a game of football and they're experts. And rather than understanding, there is all sorts of data that need to be, there is some element of biological research, understanding that is deep dive, and it's just beyond general perspective. And so for me, for coaches, what I would encourage coaches is, from what we are talking about here, everything has a place, but you need to understand the element of why. And you should always fall back to the rule and not the exception to the rule. And in this context, the rule is the game. Let the kids play the game. The exception to the rule is if you got maybe a biological, physiological deficiencies that are affecting you to play the game, then we can go to the exception to the rule and go, all right, actually, this is affecting you to be able to achieve the intention. So to be able to support you, we're going to take you out of the simplified game, because the simplest form of the game is a time constraint. That's the resistance. So the better players can do things with less time. The poor players need more time. So it's a time resistance. So for every action they are doing, which links back to you coaching, if I'm a coach, is understanding, if we've talked about football, as an element of communicating, deciding, executing, and we've talked about the three elements of the element of deciding. This is a time constraint. And so the skill of the coach is, how do I use my skill to use the time restraint to help them experiment with the football situations? Because the football actions, we've already said, the football is about scoring and outscoring. So if I put it simply, if you think about those actions, if I'm trying to outscore you, I have the ball. So I'm trying to score goals. But then if you're trying to stop me, there's an element of transition. So you win the ball, there's a transition. I need to have transition. Within those elements is now, okay, if I'm trying to score, if I start breaking it down, all right. If I'm attacking, what are the attacking things I need to be doing? Okay, I need to be shooting. I need to be dribbling. If I'm defending, what is I need to be marking? So those are the full actions that is consistent across the world. That's not going to change. So my job is using the time constraint to allow the players to do the full actions that is universal across the world. And now the subjective element is that skill of using the time constraint. Now, do I play 5v1, for example? Do I play 5v1 on a small pitch? Do I play 5v1 on a big pitch? Do I play 5v2? Do I play 3v3 plus 1? Depending on what I'm trying to achieve and creating this time constraint, do I play parity? Do I play 1v1s? Do I play 2v2s? In a small pitch, big pitch? Because now we understand that if time is the constraint to perform, and it's not about the isolation of the task that is required, which the coaches are supposed to be creating, then my job as the coach is to stick to the objective reference, the game, the better teams we know. And that is a fact. No coach is going to dispute that. The better players can perform in less time. The weaker players need more time. So if time is the constraint and they're playing the game, well, my job is to be able, how can I skillfully increase or decrease the time with the context of my group of players that I have to allow them to do the game of football within the time constraint? If my group of players, they're of a higher level, it means they can work in less time. How can I decrease that time even less so they're performing the football actions in less time? If my group of players are really struggling with the time constraint, how can I give them more time to allow them to still perform the football actions? I don't know. For example, I'm developing dribbling. My player is struggling with escaping the pressure line. Okay, to restrain the time, okay, why can't I put the defender, tell the defender, there's this line, you can only go left and right. You can go forward. So I can work on the general aspect of escaping with the ball, dribbling to be the line. I don't know. Then maybe they get good at getting the right time of position, moment, direction in relation to, if you keep on moving left or right, how do I get my body across? When do I just do a one touch? When do I manipulate to go left, to go right, receive, to go? What is the timing to go? And when is my scanning? I'm looking, okay, the body shifts this way. I'm going to go this way. Okay, I might create a zone. So I'm increasing more time. I might go, okay, a zone might be 2x2. I might go, okay, a zone of 5v5. You can only play in the zone. But once I go past the zone, at the side of it, there's a safety zone. And then I might go full on. But I'm increasing the time resistance. But the player is still doing the football actions that they will do in, because they're still communicating, they're still deciding, they're still executing the intention, the behaviors that we want. We want you to be able to score, beat the player to go to the other end. That's what we're trying to do. And so our job as a coach is not to reduce the game, but to simplify the game. So by reducing what I mean by reducing is going from 11v11 simplifying the game to its simplest form into 1v1s. And then from there, using my skill of time and restraint, how do I play with time to be able to increase the football ability that we talked about, which was my ability, the individual player, to be able to communicate, decide, and execute. So that ability, how can I improve that player so that the speed of decision-making, the speed of execution, the speed of reaction is higher? And I'm going to use my skill as the coach to develop that. What I would say, again, it's easy to say that because maybe through experience and through trial and error, in the environment I'm in, we work with 7-year-olds, 8-year-olds, and we've never done any unpaused work, and the kids are quite good at actually escaping with the ball, dribbling. We've actually, they're good at passing with the ball, but we've never done anything unopposed. Why? Because our task, coaching task, is to create coaching situation and referencing coaching and helping the players to be able to solve problems that are always ever adapting. And through coaching situation and reference coaching, we can inbuild their experiences such that when the band of game insight is big enough, and at a level where they can be on that level of competency phase, which was I was talking about being consciously, unconsciously competent, then we can start doing the unopposed work. Because now the players are consciously, unconsciously competent because they know, if the player's there, I'll do that. If the player's there, I'll do that. But when a player has not reached that level where they cannot articulate the problem, then my job is to allow the experience, the experiment, the coaching situation, which is the training exercises, to explore this game insight. And of course, there's other caveats you can talk about, you know, why I would recommend the simplification of the game. For example, some environments, you only got the players for 1 week, for 1 day, an hour. And like I said, when you watch, observe kids in school, what do they want to do? They want to play. So if I take that context and take away my subjective feelings around this is what I want the players to do, well, we're there for the kids. What do the kids want? The kids want to play a game of football. Where do they get a game of football? Because they want to experiment the things that they enjoy doing, dribbling or passing. That's what they want to do. So put them in a game. And then you, as a job, is can you do reference coaching and direct them? Which goes back to what you are saying and alluding to, that don't just let the game be the teacher. No. The game is supposed to be a place for experiment. Your job as a coach is to do reference coaching using the game situation. And if you have no idea of what to do, let them play and just guide them. And so use your understanding and knowledge to reference the players and guiding them to find those solutions, rather than telling them, this is what I want you to do. You can do that in a performance environment, but not in a learning environment. So that's how I look at it. And it is easier performance environment, again, and largely, even though the players make decision on the pitch, you're trying to, in a performance environment, you're trying to tell the players to go the way you want, because strategically, in a first team environment, the players, the best level of the players, when they have reached 23, they have almost the physical development that could affect their in the technical execution has reached a level where is minimal in terms of affecting the things they can do. And now what you're trying to do is trying to, at a performance environment, you're trying to hide the weaknesses of the players and try to highlight their strengths. If I'm in a learning environment, our job is to expose the weaknesses so that we can increase the competency of the players. So our job is to allow the players to perform and learning as a priority to help them reach the performance level that they need, where we can strategically, for the purposes of the club, we want to be in the Champions League, we want to win a trophy, we want to do that. And in fact, having said that, I would go further to say, I could be in a learning environment, but for the sake of argument, let's say we're going to tournament. Now, the group of players might not be at the level of the performance we need, but they're still in a learning. Talking about understanding your why. So if I'm going to the tournament, as a club, we might make a decision, you know, we want to go and win, which is more performance and less of learning. So guess what? Our approach might be different. So we might do your traditional patterns of play because I want you to perform. So I'm trying to give you a layers of certain routines that I want to see happening because I need you to perform. I don't want you to go and learn. So I'm trying to minimize the opportunity of you thinking because you're not at the level of thinking that quick. So our coaching strategy might change because of a tournament. But on the other hand, the same group of players, the same club, you might go, no, because we are using the league games as an extension of learning, no, we're not going to do patterns of play because we want you to develop and learn as you perform. So if learning is a performance and learning is a behavior, we want to try you to experiment and give you more opportunities in a pressurized environment, playing against different oppositions, because it's less about the performance as an outcome, but it's more of about you learning and experiencing the things that you need to allow you to come into performance environment.
Then give it to me.
Sorry about that, Max.
It's all right.
But no, there's a lot in what you said. And I think the key is, right, is talking about coaches becoming more skillful in how they effectively adapt their implementation. Effectively, how they become more skillful in being able to change their style to suit the needs of the environment and the players' intentions, right? So obviously, if you're talking about being performance players, you might need to just simplify things and give them less things to think about. Like you said, in a learning environment, you want to get them to think about more things so they can start to assess and understand and dissect and filter out that information as best as they can based on the context that they're in. But there's so many questions that are going off in my head, but I'm conscious of time, and I think we might have to get together for another call again. But Max, I just want to say massive thank you, man.
Just before you do that, just in a point of summary, and maybe just to touch on a bit of everything, it's almost this element of we're talking about the shoemaker, the how, the what. Just in summary, it's almost trying to, what I'm trying to drive at is understanding that a tactically strong player does not exist. But tactics and the game insert are two different components. And so one what, which is the intention, can have multiple hows, the behaviors. And so the coach needs to understand that different hows, based on the position, the moment, the direction and speed, will help the coaches to subjectively apply the how, the behavior of the objective knowledge of what is the intention. And so if the coaches have that understanding of the how and the what, then it might just help them around their skill of coaching and delivery.
I think, again, I'm just going back to my, again, one of the questions I'm gonna leave you with, and I want to unpack this when we get back on another call, hopefully, is,
yeah,
where did your mind start to shift around this? And I know that because obviously this isn't where you were thinking possibly when you first started coaching. So I think, you know, you mentioned about research, but I'm going to have to hold things there because I'm really conscious of time. But
yeah,
I want to say a massive thank you for your time today, Max. We'll definitely connect again and pick this up because there's a lot still to unpack here. And I'm thinking we can probably go on for hours with this one as well.
Yeah. No, thank you, Yaz, for getting me. But yeah, of course, there's more that we can always go through. But yeah, no, thank you for just letting us talk football. And hopefully those listening have could take something that resonates with them. And and just something for them to think about. So, you know, whatever we talked about here, you know, it's about challenging the coaches' thinking so that we can be better. So 100%. that is the whole point.
We're definitely going to get on another call very soon, Max. But again, thank you for your time. I really appreciate it, man.
No, thank you, yes. Have a good one. Thank you.
Well, there you have it, guys. Another episode of the Coaches Network podcast, where our aim is to bring the world of athlete, talent, and personal development together to just one platform. And you can help us with that mission right now by sharing this episode or any of your favorite episodes with everyone that you can think of. You can tag us in those mentions as well on Instagram at The Coaches Network or on Twitter at The Coaches Net. We look forward to hearing from you. Let us know what you thought about today's episode. And until next time, guys, take care.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Terms and conditions apply.